Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 4 March 2026, 2 Corinthians.
All right, just to remind you, tonight, after class, there will be a teacher's meeting. Teacher's meeting tonight after class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord, we have a few moments of silent prayer. Why? Well, I know you. And this gives you a chance to rebound. Some of you were watching the Golden Knights play, and they were getting killed. And you got out of fellowship. You said some bad words, and then you came in here not knowing that they won in overtime. They did. Don't look at me like that. They did. They won in overtime. So anyway, rebound and get ready to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're almost to the end of the two greatest chapters in all of the Scriptures that teach the principle and the doctrine of grace giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're right at the end of that. We are in 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 through 15. And there we have the reward of generosity in grace giving. In the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generosity in grace giving. First of all, the ones who give in grace will be blessed. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10, and that's where we are right now. Secondly, the receiver's needs are met, and that's coming up in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 11 and 12. And then finally, God, the source of all blessing, is praised, and that's 2 Corinthians 9, 13 through 15. So first of all, the ones who give in grace will be blessed. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10, and we have exegeted verses 6 through 9. So let's look at the corrected translation of 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. Verse 6. Remember this principle of giving. The one who sows sparingly, grudgingly, he shall also reap sparingly. But the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each one, just as he is determined in his heart, and that is as you've been motivated in your heart, so give, not reluctantly, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion, pressure. For God loves a grace-oriented giver. Verse 8. And God is able, he's strong enough as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good work. And in our context, that good work is grace giving. Verse 9. Just as it stands written, quote, a quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. He, God, has given generously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, his grace virtue, abides forever. Now in verse 9, that phrase, his righteousness abides forever. Dikaiosune autu. That's his righteousness. That's God's righteousness. God possesses eternal, unchangeable, and perfect righteousness. All justice is administered from the perfect righteousness of God. The absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God puts the spotlight on the virtue, the honor, the integrity of our God. God's righteousness and grace virtue also puts the spotlight on God's holiness, as we saw in Leviticus 19:2, 1 Samuel 2:2, and Psalm 22, verse 3. God is also absolute good. Absolute good is perfect righteousness. Now, this is not goody good. This is not legalistic good. This is not distorted good from the sin nature whereby man tries to impress God and impress people with how good he is. This is the intrinsic goodness of God. Psalm 25, verse 8, Psalm 34, verse 8, Psalm 86, verse 5, Psalm 119, verse 68. And God is perfect both in his person and in his character, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, Psalm 7, 9, Psalm 11, verse 7, Psalm 119, 137, and 1 John 2, 29. God is perfect righteousness, perfect virtue in his attitudes and in his actions. And then we have the verb meno, which literally means to stay, and has a special sense of to live or to dwell or to lodge. But figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it means to remain, to continue, to abide. And then we have the prepositional phrase eis ton iona, and that means his righteousness, his grace virtue, God's grace virtue abides forever. So verse 9 again says, just as it stands written, quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9, He, God, has given generously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, His grace virtue abides forever. Now, we did the exegesis. We didn't pull it all together. So here we go. One. God gives generously to the believer on the basis of who and what He is. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is. He graces us out from the moment of salvation for all eternity. God gives generously to the believer on the basis of who and what He is. And when you come to know God, when you get to that point, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. When you get to that point that you have attained spiritual maturity and virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, then you will know God. You will love God. You will love God the Father. You will know His essence, His plan, His will, His purpose. You'll have occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you know who and what God is, that right there, there's the motivation. The motivation in your heart for grace giving comes right there. So God gives generously to the believer on the basis of who and what He is. Two, at salvation, the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God imputes His righteousness to the believer, and that establishes a grace pipeline with the justice of God on one hand and the imputed righteousness of God in the believer on the other end. And that grace pipeline is so that God can bless you generously, give to you grace blessings generously from the moment of salvation on into eternity. Three, God graciously provides to every believer logistical grace blessing and support. That's for all believers, winner believers and loser believers, all believers. God graciously provides to every believer logistical grace, blessing, and support. Four, but for the winner believers, for those who attain grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, God graciously provides greater grace blessing. And provisions so that the grace righteous believer has the financial resources to give generously and graciously in grace giving. So for the winner believer, you've fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. You've grown up to spiritual maturity. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. For the winner believer, those who attain grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, God graciously provides greater grace blessing and provision so that the grace righteous believer has the financial resources to give graciously and generously in grace giving. Five. The phrase, His righteousness abides forever, in verse 9. Very important. That phrase, His righteousness, God's righteousness abides forever, in verse 9, that is going to anticipate our next verse, verse 10, where dikaiosune is used of the believer priest's spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. Grace giving is one of the spiritual sacrifices we offer from our universal priesthood. Every believer in the church age is a priest. No specialized priesthood that they had in the age of Israel, where you had to be from the tribe of Levi. We're in a church age with a universal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Every church age believer is a priest. And in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were animal sacrifices, but Jesus Christ fulfilled what all of those animal sacrifices portrayed. He fulfilled them. There's no more need for animal sacrifices. We are in a universal priesthood, the royal priesthood, and our sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. And those spiritual sacrifices include the spiritual sacrifice of prayer to God, thanksgiving to God for who and what He is, His essence, His plan, His will, His purpose, and the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving, and the spiritual sacrifice of divine good production. All of those are spiritual sacrifices that we offer from our royal priesthood to God. So that phrase, His righteousness abide forever in verse 9, anticipates verse 10, where dikaiosune is used of the believer priests, spiritual sacrifice of grace giving. 6. The grace giving of the believer is a manifestation of God's grace provision from His righteousness. The grace giving of the believer is a manifestation of God's grace provision from His righteousness. Seven. God provides money in grace. And the believer gives money in grace. God provides money in grace. And the believer gives money in grace. 8. God's logistical grace, blessing, and support for all believers, which begins right at the moment of salvation, right up to tonight, you've been receiving God's logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that's for all believers. God's logistical grace, blessing, and support for all believers, winners and losers alike, is grace addition. Grace addition for your survival, to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, is temporal security. Logistical grace, blessing, and support is temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can fulfill God's plan for your life, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and attain the ultimate objective of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So, God's logistical grace, blessing, and support for all believers, winners and losers alike, is grace addition for your survival, temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Point 9. God's logistical grace provision is addition. Addition of money for the necessities of life. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry. That is the a fortiori of logistical grace provision. The Lord Jesus Christ taught that clearly. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. God provides for the birds in the air. He provides for the flowers in the field. If He provides for flowers and birds, well, we got a lot of bird brains, that's true. But He will definitely provide for you. You don't have to worry 1 second about money for food or money for what you're going to wear or transportation. All of the necessities of life God provides for all believers. All believers. Food for all believers. Shelter for all believers. Clothing for all believers. Transportation for all believers. God provides that for all. And you shouldn't waste 1 second concerned about that. Guaranteed from God. From the moment of your salvation right up to tonight, God is providing logistical grace, blessing, and support. You need a job? Don't worry about it. God's already got the perfect job for you. He will give you the perfect job by His logistical grace. Instead of worrying about it, that's a sin. If you're worrying about it, rebound. Get back into fellowship. You ought to just sit down and thank God before you ever get it. Thank God before you get the job. Thank God before you get the food or the transportation or the shelter or whatever. Thank Him ahead of time. Father, I just want to thank You right now. I know that You are, in Your logistical grace, blessing, and support, You will provide these things. You promised these things. You guaranteed these things. And with a fortiori reason, with much stronger reason, if God can provide for the birds and the flowers, He can provide for you for these things. With much stronger reason. A fortiori blessing. So you shouldn't worry 1 minute. You need to just thank God. Thank God for who and what He is. Thank God for His logistical grace, blessing, and support. And He will provide for you. That, and it's so much fun to thank God before He ever gives it to you. And He loves to see that too. God loves to see that. Yeah, all right. This guy down there actually got it. He did it. That's great. So God's logistical grace provision is addition of money for the necessities of life. A fortiori. With much stronger reason, if God provides for the animals and the flowers in the field, He will certainly provide for you. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation. 10. God's greater grace provision to the spiritually mature believer, on the other hand, that is multiplication. So logistical grace blessing is addition, but God's greater grace provision to the spiritually mature believer is multiplication. Multiplication of money for grace giving. The believer's grace giving results in increasing the harvest of your grace righteousness. And that's coming up in the next verse, verse 10. The believer's grace giving results in increasing the harvest of your grace righteousness. Verse 10. The increase of the harvest of your grace righteousness enlarges the believer's capacity for life and love and happiness. The increase of the harvest of your grace righteousness enlarges the believer's capacity for life and love and happiness. 13, verse 10 is going to put the spotlight on grace giving and capacity for life. Verse 10 is going to put the spotlight on grace giving and capacity for life. That spiritually mature believer, that believer with virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, giving in grace, that believer has phenomenal capacity for life. So again, verse 9 said, just as it stands written, quotation from Psalm 112:9, He, God, has given generously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, His grace, virtue abide forever. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, the multiplication of grace through grace giving. Now he that ministereth, we don't usually use that word much today, ministereth seed to the sower. We have the postpositive conjunction de plus the articular present active participle of epikoregeo. Very special word. And it's in the intensified form. There is the verb koregeo, and then there's the intensified form, epikoregeo. And we have here epikoregeo. And then the noun sperma, plus the articular present active participle of spero. All right, we start out with the postpositive conjunction de. D-E, de. Now, the postpositive conjunction de is the transitional use of de, and it may be translated and, or moreover, or then, or now. We're going to translate it now. And then we have this very special verb, epikoregeo. Epikoregeo, E-P-I. Now that right there, that's the preposition epi that's prefixed to the verb koregeo. Now koregeo in itself is a very unique and special verb, but when you put the preposition epi in front of it, it's intensification. So epi, E-P-I-C-H-O-R, long E, G, E, long O. Epikoregeo. All right, this verb, this very special verb, is taken from Greek drama. Greek drama of the 5th century B.C. And it's used by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. It's used here in the context of grace giving. This is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit combined with the genius of the Apostle Paul, maybe the greatest mind ever in human history. So this verb is taken from Greek drama of the 5th century B.C. and placed in this context of grace giving. Epikoregeo was used for the man that provided the money and the expense for the chorus in a Greek tragedy. And to do so, he had to be a very wealthy man. And he had to be totally supportive of the purpose behind the drama. So, point two, epikoregeo means to furnish or provide at one's own expense. To furnish or to provide at one's own expense. 3. Now, epikoregeo. Now, koregeo means the same thing. Koregeo, and we're going to have the verb koregeo without epi prefixed to it later on. But first of all, we have epikoregeo. Why? Because God is the subject of this verb. God is the subject of this verb. And so we have the intensified form. Epikoregeo. Later on, we're going to have koregeo, but God isn't the subject. You are the spiritually mature believer giving in grace. But here, God is the subject, so we have the intensified form. And epikoregeo means to give generously, to give extensively in the intensified form, epikoregeo. And again, the intensified form is used because God is the subject. 4. The articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. It functions as the subject of verse 10 and is correctly translated, "Now the one who gives graciously and generously the seed." The one is God. He's the subject. Now he who gives, or the one who gives graciously and generously the seed to the sower. 5. God is the subject. God is the one who is intensively, epikoregeo, intensively gives graciously and generously. So God is the subject, the one who intensively gives graciously and generously. 6. The believer is the sower. God is the subject, the one who intensively gives graciously and generously. And 6, the believer is the sower. 7. The verb epikoregeo in verse 10 plus skorpizo that we had in verse 9 teaches that God is the source of the money that we give in grace. Epikoregeo in verse 10 plus skorpizo in verse 9 teaches that God is the source of the money that we give in grace. Eight, what you give in grace is a grace gift from God to you. What you give in grace is a grace gift from God to you. And then we have the noun sperma. S-P-E-R-M-A, sperma. And the noun sperma is an agricultural term. It literally means seed. Seed. And it's used figuratively for money in our verse, in our context of grace giving. So it's an agricultural term that literally means seed, but figuratively it's used here for money. And then we have spero. The verb spero. S-P-E-I-R, long O, spero. And a couple of things on this payroll. Literally, this verb means to sow seed. To sow seed. To plant seed. Two, the articular participle, once again, is substantival. It functions as a noun. It functions as a noun, as a substantival participle. Three, therefore, is correctly translated sower. Correctly translated sower. Four, the seed to the sower is the money that God graciously provides to the believer. Seed to the sower is the money that God graciously provides to the believer. Five. So God graciously gives you money, and that which you give in grace is then multiplied by God to you. God graciously gives you money, and that which you give in grace is multiplied. Six. That portion of money that you give in grace is multiplied like seed that is sown. That portion of money that you give in grace is multiplied like seed that is planted, sown. Why? What happens when you plant the seed? It grows up and there is a great harvest. A great harvest. So point seven. You sow seed and it is multiplied into a great harvest. You sow seed and it is multiplied into a great harvest. Eight. The more money the believer sows, gives in grace, the more money God intensively supplies in grace, epikoregeo. The more money the believer sows, gives in grace, the more money God intensively supplies in grace, epikoregeo. And as you attain spiritual maturity and grace righteousness, as you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you realize that all that you have and all that you are is by the amazing grace of God to you. And you've seen God give to you in grace and give to you in grace and give to you in grace. And you have this fantastic thoughtfulness and mental attitude in everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, to give it to others in grace. God graciously gives to you, and you are motivated. You're motivated by the filling of the Spirit. You're motivated by your virtue, love, love for God, and occupation with Christ, to give to others in grace. You love to do that. You want to do that. When you get to that point, it's so very fun because you're totally encapsulated by the grace of God. All that you have and are is because of the grace of God, and you love, you want to give to others in grace. and grace giving. And the more you give in grace giving, the more God supplies to you so you can give to grace giving again and again and again and again and again and again. And the person who has the total understanding of grace giving never expects the other person to give back to you. Never expect that. You give in grace because you want to, and it's done. You're done in your mind. When you get to that point, you know this. Your life is so much fun. So much fun. You have great capacity for life, great capacity for love, great capacity for happiness. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, it's just a tremendous blessing in your soul. And you never worry about, oh, I gave. How am I going to pay the power bill? Well, that's logistical grace, first of all. You never have to worry about that. When Deb and I were first married, and she always handles paying the bills. Now, if you handle paying the bills, then she would say, look at these bills. Look at how they're going up. All of these bills, and they're going up. Used to be concerned about those things. And I said, Deb, you don't have to be concerned about any of that. God's got that taken care of 100% guaranteed. That's just logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security. God will provide. I don't want you to worry one second about any of that. I said, you know, I learned this when I was going to Dallas Seminary. I didn't have any money when I went to Dallas Seminary. I didn't even have a suit. And we were required to wear a suit. I didn't even have a suit. I couldn't afford a suit. And Pastor Breckel's wife made me some suits to wear that I could take to Dallas Seminary and wear. She provided those for me. I didn't have money for a suit. I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and it takes money and that to do that. And I worked as a cement finisher. Earning money so I could go to seminary and prepare for the ministry. And while I was there, obviously, you needed money for certain things. And out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I go to get my mail, and here be a letter from up in Washington. And this person said, God has put it on my heart. You're preparing for the ministry. He's put it on my heart that you need finances while you're preparing for the ministry. So I'm sending this to you for you while you're at seminary. It was absolutely right down to the penny exactly what I needed. Luck. No, it wasn't luck. It was God's perfect grace. And he did that again and again and again. And pretty soon, I got the memo. Father, I understand. I'm not going to ever be worried or concerned about this ever again. You are providing for your servant as I prepare to serve you and feed your sheep. You will provide for me, and you will always provide for me. And I taught that to Deb several times, and she nailed that down totally. And now she loves. I love to give in grace. Everywhere I go, I love to give in grace. I never am concerned about it, because God multiplies. When I give in grace, God multiplies, provides. He always has. He always will. And not only that, I just have the greatest inner happiness to be able to do that. And you will too. Grace giving is only something that the spiritually mature believer, the grace righteous believer, the believer that has fulfilled the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in his heart. When that is true, grace giving will be a slam dunk. You're total motivation. Carry that out. So that portion of money, point six, that portion of money that you give in grace is multiplied like seed sown. Point seven. You sow seed and it is multiplied into a great harvest. Point eight. The more money the believer sows that he gives in grace, the more money God intensively, epikoregeo, supplies in grace. So the more money the believer sows, gives in grace, the more money God epikoregeo, intensively, supplies in grace. Nine, God multiplies the seed being sown for grace giving. God multiplies the seed being sown, grace giving. That's multiplication. 10. Therefore, grace giving results in the multiplication of grace. Grace giving results in the multiplication of grace. Eleven, this principle is not only taught here in 2 Corinthians 9, but also in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. In Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, it says, one man gives generously, and yet he gains even more. Multiplication. Another withholds unduly, but he comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. The one who refreshes others, grace giving, will himself be refreshed by God. Fantastic. There's not a lot of believers. Well, first of all, there's very few believers that even attain spiritual maturity. Sad to say, it'd be great if there was a huge number. But when you reach that point, you're going to have the most fantastic life, capacity for life and love and happiness because of your virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So, corrected translation. Now he, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed, the money, to the sower, the believer. And then we have two things now. Both means we got two things involved here. We got logistical grace and greater grace. First of all, logistical grace. Both minister bread for your food. This is the conjunction chi plus the future active indicative of koregeo. Now this time, we have koregeo, not epikoregeo. This is the conjunction kai plus the future active indicative of koregao plus the accusative singular of artos plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative singular of brosis. The conjunction kai is a connective kai. You correctly translate that and. And a couple of things. First of all, one, kai introduces God's grace provision of logistical grace, blessing, and support to all believers. Kai introduces God's grace provision of logistical grace, blessing, and support to all believers. Two, logistical grace is God's gracious provision of temporal security that keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. He keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world that you might advance to maturity, attain spiritual maturity, and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That takes good decisions, positive volition, and humility. To find a sound Bible teaching church, consistently and faithfully assembled to learn the Word of God and fulfill the mandate, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of many is. So logistical grace is God's gracious provision of temporal security to keep you alive in the devil's world. Three, logistical grace provision is the addition of money for the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, transportation. Logistical grace provision is the addition of money for the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, transportation. Point four. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, the spotlight is on the addition of money for food. The phrase, and provides graciously bread for the purpose of eating. And that's how the corrected translation is. And provides graciously bread, logistical grace, for the purpose of eating. So in 2 Corinthians 9:10, our verse, the phrase, and provides graciously bread for the purpose of eating, puts the spotlight on the addition of money for food. The addition of money for food. Five, the noun artos looks like that in the Greek, A-R-T-O-S, artos. The noun artos means bread. And we have artos ace brosis, and that means bread for the purpose of eating. Bread for the purpose of eating, or bread as food, or a loaf of bread. Six, bread represents all the necessities of life as a part of logistical grace. Bread represents all the necessities of life as a part of logistical grace. Seven, God provides the money for this by addition. God provides the money for this by addition to all believers. Winner believers, loser believers, baby believers, adolescent believers, mature believers, carnal believers, spiritual believers, to all believers. God provides the money for this by addition to all believers. Koregao is repeated, this time without the preposition epi, to which it means to provide the money, to supply the funds. So, corrected translation. Now he, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed, the money to the sower, the believer, and provides graciously bread, logistical grace, for the purpose of eating. Now, the next phrase in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, puts the spotlight on multiplication. The multiplication of grace provision through grace giving. So first of all, we had addition and provides graciously bread, logistical grace, blessing and support for the purpose of eating. Now we go from addition to multiplication. So we have, and multiply your seed sown. We have the conjunction chi plus the future active indicative of plethuno plus the accusative singular of sporos with the definite article plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. Now, chi is the connective chi once again, correctly translated and, or and at the same time. And we're going to translate it and at the same time. And then we have the multiplication verb, plethuno. Plethuno, the multiplication verb, P-L, long E-T-H-U-N, long O, plethuno. All right. One, plethuno means to multiply, to increase, to multiply. Two, plethuno is the Greek verb for multiplication. The Greek verb for multiplication. Three, the subject of the verb, once again, is God the Father. And the object of the verb is sporos. Last time we had sperma, this time we have sporos, S-P-O-R-O-S, sporos. But sporos also literally means seed, and figuratively it's used here in our context for money. For God the Father will multiply your store of seed, money, for grace giving. God the Father will multiply your store of seed, money, for grace giving. Five, the personal pronoun su, you, refers to believers who have attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Personal pronoun su, you, refers to believers who have attained grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Six, the spiritually mature believer. The believer who has attained grace righteousness is the recipient of this multiplication of seed, money, for grace giving. The spiritually mature believer, the believer who has attained grace righteousness, is the recipient of the multiplication of seed, money, for grace giving. Seven, God in His infinite and matchless grace provides both the monetary capital for grace giving. God, in His infinite and matchless grace, provides both the monetary capital for grace giving and makes it a part of the harvest, makes it a part of the harvest of your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and makes it a part of the harvest of your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Eight, your grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, motivates your grace giving. Your grace righteousness, your spiritual maturity motivates your grace giving. Now He, God, who gives graciously and generously the seed, the money, to the sower, the believer, and graciously provides bread, logistical grace, for the purpose of eating, that's the addition of money for the necessities of life, and at the same time, He, God the Father, multiplies your seed, money, for grace giving. But that's not all of the verse. Then He says, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Well, you got to come back next week for increase the fruits of your righteousness. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit make these truths challenge each one of us, that these truths become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.